Well, there's the expectation that artificial intelligence has the potential to replace humans when it comes to certain jobs and stuff like writing emails and whatever. Up until now, our social and romantic lives were never really thought to be under threat from this new technology. I mean, sure, we obviously talk to AI smart assistants like Siri or Alexa to carry out simple tasks, but AI has recently progressed to the point where it can be called friends and lovers for some. People have long told machines what to do by pushing buttons. Now, with advances in technology, machines are pushing our buttons. To talk more about the topic, we have Professor Rob Brooks from the University of Sydney and author of a new book, Artificial Intimacy. Good morning, Professor. How are you today?
I'm absolutely wonderful, thank you. Out in the real world, away from the AI, from the phone I'm talking to you on.
Well,
I'm enjoying it a lot.
When I first called you for today's interview, the phone cut off on my first go around, and I thought, oh no, Rob's phone doesn't want me to talk to Rob.
Yeah, it could have been that. It could have been Rob's just a little bit inept at answering.
I prefer to look at the more sinister side. The book's been getting really wonderful reviews, though, far, and obviously sort of there, really treading some new territory there with this one.
Well, it's very fast-moving territory, too, you know. You finish writing a book, you hand it in, you sort of do all the corrections, and they make it up nicely and print it. And in that time, technology's moved on, and things that you've said might happen have happened, or the things that you've never imagined were going to happen have happened as well.
Yeah, so the book, you talk about the origins of human behaviour to the latest in artificial intelligence technology and how it pertains to the future of human relationships. How would a person form a meaningful friendship or romantic connection with an AI companion?
Well, you know, this isn't just theoretical. It's something that's actually happening, and there's a bit of a news story going around, you know, this month and last month about that. But basically, you know, we think that making friends and drawing them close to us and feeling that connection and becoming intimate as we get closer and closer to someone, we think that that's a uniquely human thing to do. But we know that animals are social, you know, and other primates, and the monkeys and the apes and stuff are social, and they groom each other by picking at one another's fur. Well, we groom each other in the small g, you know, benign sense of the word, by talking to each other, just like you and I are chatting right now.
Yeah.
You know, we've never met, but we're building a bit of a sense of who one another are. Your listeners are getting a bit of a sense of who I am, but the person, you know, that you see every day, you've got quite a big sense of who they are. And so just by talking and exchanging information, we start to build a little part of our mind that is devoted to that person, or who we think that person is from the information that we've got. And we think, yeah, well, that's something that's special and that humans are really good at. And we are. We're amazing at it.
Yeah.
But it really just takes simple questions and disclosing of information to fake that. And, you know, some people are manipulative and can fake that. And pretend to be something that they aren't. And machines are figuring out, or people who program machines are figuring out, that those steps are actually really easy to copy. And so in so doing, we can be fooled, even when we know in one conscious sense, absolutely, this is a machine I'm speaking to, we still build a little bit of our mind and set it aside for them as if they were a person.
Really? So even though we sort of know that it's a machine that we're interfacing with, it can still provide that fulfillment that we would otherwise get from other humans?
Absolutely. So there's this I said there was a news story out at the moment. There's a company called Replica with a K, replica.ai, and they've been making virtual friends. So instead of, you know, Siri and Alexa's sort of professional, cool detachment, which they programmed for because they need to be efficient at delivering information to us, this is programmed to learn the best ways to keep people chatting and to get people feeling happy, you know, with the conversation.
Yeah.
And so it does things that, you know, Dale Carnegie was telling us 100 years ago we need to do. You know, remember somebody's name, use their name regularly from time to time, disclose things about yourself to them. Remember when they disclose things to you, what it was, and they have some kind of continuity. Just that continuity in programming, what these this AI chatbot can do, causes people to feel like this really is a friend. And it's an app that's designed to be a friend. And very recently, they changed some settings on it that basically took away some of the capabilities. And folks were bereft because they were losing not just their friend, but actually their their sort of romantic lover slash friend, because the capacities that were locked off were ones that were to do with, you know, sexy time talk, really. And folks suddenly felt like, you know, oh, my wife is now dead. And they know that it's on the phone and that they made it, you know, together with the company. And yet at the same time, they still feel like it's a person.
Okay. And so I imagine in an effort to look on the bright side of these things, because I've obviously got a healthy amount of fear when it comes to artificial intelligence, but looking on the bright side, this is, would you say that this has the potential for people who are suffering from loneliness? And you sort of, you hear lots of stuff these days that even though there's more people in the world than ever, people have never been lonelier than they are right now. If someone sort of was to use this technology, is it the sort of thing that is probably going to hopefully assist them with their relationships with other human beings, because they'll sort of, I guess they'll sort of learn about themselves and learn how to interact with others via this technology?
Absolutely. There's a wealth of evidence on the online discussion forums about Replica and about these changes that's actually, you know, shown that people have used it to feel less lonely, to feel less anxious, to practice doing the humaning stuff, you know, to improve their social skills a little bit, or just to, you know, just to feel like somebody's there to listen, that there's one person who's going to, or in this case, AI entity, that's going to hear what you say and, you know, not talk over the top of you or say, but this is the thing that happened to me today kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's absolute there's a considerable amount of evidence that this is good. The problem is, of course, that it starts to become of sort of medical slash therapeutic kind of use,
yeah.
But it's not designed that way and it's not tested that way. And that's where we're going to have to go in the future, because I think, you know, computers might not be the real thing. They might not be good enough to do all the things that we want them to do. But for many people, nothing's all they've got, and better than nothing is, you know, definitely better than nothing.
Okay, oh, that's a pretty positive note, I think, to leave it on. Professor Rob Brooks from the University of New South Wales. The book Artificial Intimacy is out now. Where can people get that?
Oh, just about any bookstore online. I think searching on artificial intimacy will get you the best deal.
You can probably ask your AI companion, where can I get that book, Artificial Intimacy, by Professor
Rob
Brooks? Yeah,
let me just go and set that up.
thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER Breakfast.
Much appreciated.